Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, President Trump's team released a full thread focused on the Department of Education. I'm going to share some of those numbers here in just a second. But, hey, great to be back with you here on this Freedom Friday. Big thanks to John Jackson, the Joker from X, for covering down on much of the show yesterday. And then we had a great time broadcasting live from Plentywood later on in the 9 o'clock hour. I've got more highlights from the Farm Expo. I caught up with Clayton Lohr, the president of the Montana Grain Growers Association, after our show wrapped up. I'll share that and more. Plus, Governor Greg Gianforte joining us in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. We've also got Senate President Matt Regeer at a Kalispell kicking off the 9 o'clock hour. Normally, he joins us on Thursdays for the legislative update, but since we were in Plentywood, we were able to shift that conversation to today for you. So that'll all be coming up in an action-packed 9 o'clock hour of the show. Later on this hour, we're going to open up the phone lines if you got something you want to talk about. But I want to start by focusing in on the Federal Department of Education and this executive order signed by President Trump at the White House yesterday and how important this effort is. Montana's Republican Superintendent of Public Instruction, Susie Hedlund, was at the White House yesterday for this executive order signing. I'm going to share audio of my conversation with Susie Hedlund coming up right after this. But let me just go through some of the numbers here. We've spent, since 1979, when the U.S. Department of Education was created under Jimmy Carter, and Jimmy Carter, man, what a mess that guy created for this country. Ronald Reagan was able to reverse a lot of the mess that Jimmy Carter created in the 1970s, but not all of it. Some of the Jimmy Carter mess is still around, and thanks to Joe Biden, it's on steroids. $3 trillion since 1979, with virtually nothing to show for it. This is coming from President Trump, a full write-up on X from the Trump War Room. Despite per-pupil spending increasing by more than 245% over that period, there has been virtually no measurable improvement in student achievement. Math and reading scores for 13-year-olds are at the lowest level in decades. 6 in 10 fourth graders and nearly 3/4 of eighth graders are not proficient in math. 7 in 10 fourth and eighth graders are not proficient in reading, while 40% of fourth grade students don't even meet basic reading levels. Standardized test scores have remained flat for decades. United States students rank 28 out of 37 OECD member countries in math. The Federal Department of Education is a massive failure. They are consuming our money and our resources that would be better directed right back here to Montana and our schools and our teachers, instead of shipping our money back to federal bureaucrats and the woke bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. We'll talk about that and more with Susie Hedlund right after this.
Donald Trump's America.
President Trump says his administration will abide by court orders, but officials here remain highly critical of federal judges imposing injunctions on agency actions.
This judge, Judge Boasberg, is a Democrat activist.
White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt has singled out D.C. District Court Judge Jeb Boasberg for his order blocking some deportation flights of accused gang members. The president has called for the judge's impeachment, sparking a rare rebuke from the Supreme Court's Chief Justice, John Roberts.
He has great respect for the Chief Justice, John Roberts, and it's incumbent upon the Supreme Court to rein in these activist judges.
Leavitt says more than 60% of all lower court injunctions the past 25 years have been against President Trump.
This is a clear, concerted effort by leftists who don't like this president.
The lower court injunctions are temporary. The administration will appeal. With the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Friday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I will be in D.C. getting ready to hop on Air Force One with President Trump for the weekend. That should be pretty wild. We'll be in the middle of the NCAA tournament. DOGE going to war on so much of our federal government's excessive spending, all that and more. We will break it down for you. We cannot wait. Special Friday edition, Clay and Buck. Come hang with us.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. Pretty obvious, right? You think different, talk different, but if you feel different, you drive different. So if you're high, just don't drive. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Friend.
All right, I think she is probably traveling back home to Montana right now as we speak. So I was able to catch up earlier this morning with Susie Hedlund, Montana Superintendent of Public Instruction. She was at the White House yesterday as President Trump signed this executive order to start dismantling the corrupt U.S. Department of Education.
Good morning, Aaron. Thank you so much. I just, first of all, want to congratulate President Trump and Secretary McMahon on this monumental decision. I agree with their direction to get education back to the basics, which were the exact words that they've used, and you've heard me say many times. So it was nice to hear that echoed. We want to ensure resources get directly to our classrooms in Montana to empower educators and improve student outcomes. And, you know, I truly believe that Montana families and educators know what's best for their students, not bureaucrats, in D.C. and at the federal level. So we're looking forward to being able to provide this support and these funding streams from the state level.
I've heard teachers on the left and on the right complain about federal bureaucracy and federal government overreach with regard to education. This shifts more of that power and those decisions back here to us in Montana. And also, look at all of that money that is wasted on that massive bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. That's money that can instead come back here to Montana so we can invest in our schools and our teachers.
Absolutely. By the time that funding makes its way to Montana, it's cents on the dollar. And I have said for many years, and you know, we have got to reduce the reporting requirements, the red tape, and the federal overreach that is burdensome on our school administrators, on our school teachers, and on the state level as well. So this is an exciting change and transfer. I am just really supporting this work and this plan, and it was fun to get the invitation to be part of this important event. I have been trying to loudly share the correct information. Unfortunately, the media just wants to print more fear-mongering and wants to print misinformation. There has been reassurance, and the president said it himself yesterday when I was in the room with him, that there's going to be no funding reduction to the programs that are critical to our Montana schools, like Title I, special education, Carl Perkins, which is our career and technical education that, you know, I'm passionate about. So how I got the invite was actually I was on the phone with White House administration talking to them about our programs that are important in Montana, telling them that I'm happy to support this work and provide input. And then they said, how quick can you get to D.C.? We'd love to have you with us. So it was pretty incredible to be involved in those conversations. I am leading the charge in this. I want to be proactive rather than resist change, complain, and sit back and see what happens. So I was making those calls to be involved and get the information, the right information, right up front, and that's how I got the invitation.
Well, it's so important that you were there because you're right. Like, you know, whether there's a Republican or a Democrat in the White House, sometimes a decision is made, and it may be the right decision, it may be the wrong decision, but that's where, you know, our officials here in Montana can go to bat and say, hey, this program's really important, that program's really important, right? But then on top of that, like, hey, this is the ability, you being in that room, you know, makes you a better advocate for those programs that are important to Montana schools, the programs that do need to continue being funded. And then on top of that, like, yeah, this is going to bring more money back to Montana education and less money for overpaid D.C. bureaucrats that constantly try to push their agenda on the rest of the people. And it's an insane woke agenda that the American people clearly rejected in the last election.
Absolutely. I was just thrilled to get to be a part of it. And like you said, it's just an honor to be invited by the President of the United States and to be recognized for, you know, having a voice in this and wanting to work with them on it rather than stand by and complain and spread misinformation or fear-mongering. So I am just working with them and really excited about this plan to get more money directly to the state of Montana and directly to our classrooms. It's going to be great.
I'm going to do a full breakdown later this morning on just how bad, you know, our numbers are when it comes to education all across the country, despite the over $3 trillion that has been spent on the U.S. Department of Education, despite per pupil spending having increased by more than 245%. Since the Department of Education was created, there's been virtually no measurable improvement in student achievement. In fact, you know, some of the data is worse than ever before. And then Secretary of Education Linda McMahon pointed out with Brett Baer yesterday that almost 47 cents on every dollar is just spent on regulatory compliance with the feds. That's almost half of every dollar is wasted on regulatory compliance. What was it like being at the White House? Who did you run into behind the scenes? What were some of the conversations you had?
All right, and we will get the answer to that question from Susie Hedlund, Montana's superintendent of public instruction, right after this. Just a couple of more minutes, highlights of that conversation with Susie Hedlund earlier this morning. And then Linda McMahon, President Trump's education secretary, breaking down this executive order and how it's going to mean better opportunities for our teachers and our kids. That and more after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
I've spent a career explaining to people that the stock market and the economy are two different things, and that the whims of exuberance and panic that wax and wane on Wall Street don't necessarily mean that the economy is doing the same thing, except in early 2025, that is, because this time the contraction in the economy might be just as severe as what major stock indices have been experiencing over the last few weeks. Although we won't get the official word until next month, all the pieces are in place for a sizable negative quarter for GDP, the measure of total economic output. Consumption in particular is nosediving. The University of Michigan's Index of Consumer Sentiment plunged by 11% this month. Spending is flat, and credit card companies are dialing back their projections. None of this is definitive. The job growth in particular is still happening. But the whipsaws of policy changes, and particularly the dizzying announcement of tariffs that factor into prices, have created uncertainty that's causing both consumers and businesses to pause. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Fox Country.
I'm Monica DeLuca. At the iHeart Music Awards, the title of Top Country Song of the Year went to... Some Help by Post Malone featuring Morgan Wallen. Post Malone also took home Country Album of the Year, but the Country Artist of the Year was Jelly Roll, and the Best New Country Artist, Shaboozy. Country music star Orville Peck is known for wearing a mask during performances and even interviews off stage, but he will be showing his face when he stars in Cabaret on Broadway beginning March 31st. and Eva Noblezada will replace Adam Lambert and Ali'i Carvalho as the MC and Sally Bowles at the August Wilson Theater. The show's official Instagram shared a photo that shows Peck without his mask. However, his gloved hands cover most of his face. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we'll have the phone lines open for you here in just a couple of minutes as well. If you want to jump in on the conversation or if you got something you want to talk about. First, here we go. Susie Hedlund at the White House yesterday. Who all did she run into? What were some of the conversations they had and more?
It was really exciting. I got to sit right with my colleagues from Alaska and Wyoming, like you mentioned earlier, and they were just exceptional. It was great talking to them. I got to spend time visiting with Secretary McMahon. I spoke to Kirsten Baszler, our new assistant secretary that was the longtime superintendent in North Dakota, over the phone, and she's going to be in D.C. with me next week. We're going to be meeting with all of the state chiefs from across the nation, so that's exciting. I spoke to Senator Sheehy, and over the phone, as they're on a break right now, and I got to speak to the governor. He was not there. He was in Montana, but talked to him about me being there, and so just checking in with everyone and having great conversations. The room was just full of energy. There were families there. There were all kinds of advocates for education that felt like this was a real turning point so that we can actually start seeing those educational outcomes. And like you said, this funding was just being wasted on compliance. I have already started taking that away at the state level as well and working towards reducing that. Not only are we wasting money on this, but we're wasting time. The amount of hours that the school administrators spend on these reports is ridiculous. They need to be spending their time as instructional leaders, meeting with parents, meeting with community members, and modeling and supporting their teachers in the classrooms.
Yeah, it's so analogous to, you know, some of the bureaucracy in the Department of Defense that's bogged down so many of our troops over the years as well. And, you know, you spend so much time doing mandatory online classes or, you know, check the box training that you're not doing the actual training that you got in the fight to do in the first place. And so it's just this whole of government approach to making America great again. Susie Hedlund, Montana Superintendent of Public Instruction, thanks for calling in. Safe travels back home to Montana. Thanks for what you do.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Take care.
All right.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, we'll have the full audio on our Montana Talks podcast. Actually, it may already be on our Montana Talks podcast already as we speak. Let's see. Where do we start? We've got Education Secretary Linda McMahon. Here we go. This was shared by the Trump War Room. I think this is Linda McMahon. I think she was on with Brett Baer on Fox News, just talking about how, look at all of the money that our federal government supposedly spends on education. But let me just make this point. Just because the money goes to the Department of Education doesn't mean the money is going to actual education.
Well, I think that's been the president's, you know, hue and cry. He said we are spending more money per pupil than any country in the world, and we're seeing less results. That's a clear indicator that we are not doing the best thing we can do for our students. I do think returning to basics is the best way to do it. We need to teach math and English and literacy and writing. We don't need to teach ideology. We have to let teachers teach. I have such respect for our teachers. I think it is the most noble profession in the world, and I have seen what can happen when teachers are allowed to teach and to be innovative and be creative in their classrooms. You know, Brett, for every dollar that goes into the school system, the federal funding, it's been reported to me that almost 47 cents of that dollar is spent in regulatory compliance. Teachers, they don't want to stay. They're leaving the profession because they are bogged down by regulation. Let's lift that burden and let them do what they do best, which is teach.
bogged down by regulation, bogged down by stupid, unnecessary paperwork. That's what this is about unraveling. And it was interesting. Susie Hedlund, you know, already alluded to this. That, oh, you're already seeing the never-Trumper media, the liberal biased media. You're already seeing it here in Montana. What's the first thing they do? Oh, let's go interview a critic of President Trump's executive order. We don't want to report the good news here about how this could mean more money for our teachers, more money for our schools, less bureaucratic BS, less paperwork headaches for our teachers and our school administrators. No. Let's not report the news about this first. We need to credit. This is what they're doing. They're doing every single report, whether it's tariffs, whether it's unleashing American energy. On this front here, how do they come up with a negative spin on what President Trump is doing here? I'm already seeing that with the Scripps TV stations following the liberal script. These are the same TV stations that had the phony, biased coverage in support of that former flip-flop, flat-top guy in the U.S. Senate race last year. And their viewers didn't buy their propaganda last year. They're not buying it this year either. But why not just report the news on this? Or if you want to get, you know, somebody criticizing it, why don't you get somebody on camera that supports what's happening too? But again, it's the follow the script of the left-wing never-Trumper talking points that you're seeing, even unfortunately, from the Montana media. Let's give you a scene setter here. Jackie Heinrich with Fox News Radio, and I think President Trump took a shot at her over the weekend. He said she's better off on CNN, but nonetheless, so Jackie Heinrich here, here's her report focused on President Trump's executive order that was just signed yesterday. President Trump delivering on a campaign promise while signing this executive order to start dismantling the corrupt Federal Department of Education.
The plan calls to preserve federal funding for students with disabilities, low-income schools, and student loans and grants, shuffling oversight to other agencies. The nation's report card shows math proficiency at 39% in fourth graders, 28% for eighth grade. In reading, fourth graders 31% proficient. Eighth graders sitting at 30%. But the National Education Association says the move will, quote, hurt all students by sending class sizes soaring, cutting job training programs, making higher education more expensive. New Fox polls show 92% of Democrats oppose shuttering the department, plus 81% of independents and more than a third of Republicans.
Yeah, so, oh, the National Education Association. Nobody cares a word about what they say. Those are the same people who were shutting down our schools, forcing teachers to wear masks, well after it was already known that that was a whole scam, and yet they still were slapping teachers in the face with that stuff. The NEA is a radical left-wing cultural Marxist organization. The reason they want this meal wagon to continue at the Department of Education is because that's how they get their left-wing operatives funded. That's how, you wonder why like they have like this woke, crazy left-wing stuff, bashing America, calling white kids bad, trying to turn your kids into transgenders. You know, if you got a little boy, they want to make him think he's a little girl. You know why that ends up in somehow small town libraries? And somehow in schools, even in rural parts of America, because the Federal Department of Education and the woke cultural Marxist operatives that are funded with your taxpayer dollars, they use the power of the federal government to push this anti-American agenda throughout every school in this country. And luckily, we have some good administrators and good teachers who catch it and are like, whoa, 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 right? But yeah, this is money and power that needs to come back to our schools and our teachers here in Montana and our decision makers here in Montana, and not these corrupt cultural Marxist operatives at the Federal Department of Education. Stephen Miller, the great Stephen Miller. It's Miller time once again here. This also being shared by the Trump War Room. Let me see if I think he also mentions, I mean, he's talking big picture.
about these liberal judges. I think he mentions the Department of Education in this tweet as well. Let me see here. Okay, I think he's talking about President Trump's executive order here as well. Oh, no, you know what? This was Stephen Miller before the executive order was signed, because I'm looking at the lower third graphic on the Fox News TV clip here, and it says, soon Trump signs order dismantling the Education Department. But either way, this is something we need to hear as well, because Stephen Miller is talking about exactly what John Jackson covered yesterday on the show, which is these corrupt federal judges thinking that they're the commander in chief, thinking that they can run U.S. foreign policy.
Right now, under the current intolerable system, a single district court judge can pick an issue, can pick a cabinet secretary, and declare him or herself to be in charge of that issue and that cabinet secretary for an indefinite period of time. And so think about the work that goes into electing a president. Think about the 8-year battle, Will, before the entire nation that led to Donald Trump taking the oath of office in January of 2025. Think about the 8 years of strife, of debate, of struggle against every single obstacle thrown in President Trump's path so he could put his hand on that Bible and step back into the White House. Compare that to appointing a district court judge, one of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. The idea that a single district court judge can, on any day, any issue, claim the powers of the president on core matters of executive branch policy is legitimately insane. How anyone could defend it is beyond imagination.
Yeah, well said by Stephen Miller, and I think John Jackson had covered that yesterday as well. By the way, it was funny, while I was dealing with software updates on my equipment and my computer, while I was getting the show up and running from Plentywood yesterday, I really wanted to jump in on the conversation with the Joker, because I just wanted to tell him one thing. Hey, John, did you hear about Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota? Tampon Tim says he's going to kick your Tim Walz says he's going to come down to the Grindhouse Gym in Billings and kick all your butts. He thinks he's tougher than all you guys.
How do airplanes fly? What's in this box? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Learn how to store your gun securely and make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, yeah, I'm throwing my headset on here a little quick at the last minute, because during the break, I'm not only listening to the content that you get to hear during the break, but I'm also working on my laptop computer and my remote broadcast equipment so I can pass this off to our engineer, because I want to be ready to rock and roll with my remote broadcast equipment, because we got to turn and burn already next week. We're taking the show back out on the road, and so I got to make sure all the software is up to date and everything so that we don't have the same technical challenge we had yesterday trying to get everything up and running. But, hey, it makes it fun, right? Keeps it exciting, keeps you on your toes. Yeah, next week I will be Tuesday afternoon. I get the honor of speaking at the Mackers Convention in Great Falls. That's the Montana Association of County Road Supervisors. So that'll be Tuesday afternoon. So, you know, your county road crews are there. A lot of, you know, construction companies are there, and a lot of county commissioners are there. So looking forward to seeing all of you. It's a great group of folks that are always at that Mackers Convention. And then, hey, since we're going to be, taking the show on the road, why not do the show on the road Wednesday morning, the 26th? We will be doing our show live from the Heritage Inn in Great Falls. So, hey, if you want to join me on the show, or if you know somebody who would be great to be a guest on our show in Great Falls, in that area, that neck of the woods, shoot me an email, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Email is aaron@montanatalks.com, or you can send us a message on the Montana Talks app, and then we'll keep you posted as the show schedule gets fully ironed out. Let me tell you about a great deal here before we jump back into the show. Phone lines are open, 406-294-0970. That's a great deal in itself. If you got something you want to talk about, you can call in right now because we got a very busy 9 o'clock hour coming. By the way, I mentioned we've got Senate President Matt Regeer joining us soon, and then we've got Governor Greg Gianforte joining us soon. If you have a topic you think we should bring up with the governor or with the Senate president, or if you have a quick question or a comment, send us a message on the Montana Talks app right now. Because you guys know how we roll around here. I'm not scripted. I never script these conversations. Sometimes I have an idea of some questions that I want to ask, and then sometimes we go in a totally different direction. So if you've got a good question, idea, or a comment for the governor or for the Senate president, shoot us a message on the Montana Talks app, and we'll see if we can throw that one into the mix as well. Here's the good deal I want to tell you about, though. I guess it's officially spring. It sure feels like it now. Don't worry, it'll go back to feeling like winter. Just give it a day or two, right? That's how quickly the weather changes here in Montana, especially in March and even in April. But springtime is a great time to invest in home improvements and make some upgrades. Plus, you can really save a lot of money on your energy bills if you get some new windows. Let me tell you about YHIC, your home improvement company. They've got an unbeatable deal going right now. 50% off your window purchase, minimum of 4 windows. It's a deal you don't want to miss. Plus, easy financing. Zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for 12 months. That's 2026. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. This is a limited-time offer you don't want to miss. Let me repeat, 50% off your window purchase, minimum of 4 windows. Call 406-948-2836. You're going to love the difference with your home improvement company. Go to YHIC.com to find out how. All right, into the phone lines we go. 294-0970 is the number for you. Bill in Billings, first up. Bill, what's going on?
Well, our local rag here on the Lee newspapers had two tiny little blurbs way down at the bottom of page 6 that I wanted to share with you. You know, when old Fannie Willis, the district attorney in Atlanta, when Trump tried to challenge the election results there in 2020, Biden gave her about $1 million to go after Trump, and they wouldn't let Trump look at any of the records there. So here's the first little blurb. Georgia. A judge ordered Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis to pay more than $54,000 in attorney's fees and to turn over records after finding that her office violated Georgia's Open Records Act in connection with a case involving allegations that President Donald Trump and others tried to overturn Trump's 2020 election loss in Georgia. Isn't it funny that they buried that on the bottom of page 6? Here's the second one. Remember when they were trying to get the Keystone Pipeline done? Here's the other tiny little one. Environmental group Greenpeace must pay more than $650 million in damages for defamation and other claims brought by Pipeline Company Energy Transfer in connection with protests against the Dakota Access Oil Pipeline's construction in North Dakota, a jury found Wednesday.
Yeah.
So they buried that one down on the bottom of page 6. But a little justice finally coming out.
How ironic is it, Bill, too, now? I mean, it's maddening at the same time, too. These people are domestic terrorists. These people who attack our energy infrastructure, just like these people who are burning Tesla cars and shooting Tesla vehicles as a form of of political extremism using violence to promote their politics. That is terrorism. It's the very definition of terrorism. I think these domestic terrorists that attack our energy infrastructure and our energy grid, same thing. This is domestic terrorism. They're pushing their radical environmental extremist agenda. That's why in Montana, the legislature, then Representative Steve Gunderson out of Libby worked with our electric cooperatives and others to strengthen the penalties against people that attack our electrical infrastructure, because especially depending on the time of year, that could be a life or death scenario. But how ironic is it that some of the same people that were attacking oil pipelines are now the ones that are attacking electric vehicles and trading them in for gas-guzzling SUVs?
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, one bad thing, that $54,000 that Fannie Willis is supposed to pay, she'll be paying that out of that $1 million that old Biden gave her, unless she spent it all already on those vacations with her boyfriend.
Yeah, or she'll go see if Stacey Abrams still has, you know, a chunk of that $2 billion left over as well. Bill, great to hear from you. Thanks for the call. Let's go next. We got Frank in Evergreen. Frank, good to hear from you. What's on your mind? Is that Frank on too? Frank, I'm not hearing you. Frank, are you still there? Okay, maybe that's a different caller. Let's see. Sven in Kalispell. Sven, is that you?
That's me, man.
Hey, all right, good. What's going on?
Have you heard anything about any money acquisition for the spillway in St. Mary's and the Monotson Bridge?
Oh, that's a great question for legislative leaders and the governor as well. Yeah, well, first off, with the St. Mary's Irrigation Project, I know there's construction ongoing right now. That project funding is moving forward. The anti-Doge activists were trying to make it sound like that was going to be blocked, but no, that's moving forward. But the Noxon Bridge, yeah. Man, Noxon has just had a fight on their hands with fires. I mean, the Hereford burned down not just once but twice. And then the bridge went out. So, that's a good question. Whether it's that bridge or other infrastructure, what is the legislature and the governor looking to do this session, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, because that's like a main thoroughfare right there where they cross it. And here in this area, you know, you can stop the bridges and you ain't going to be going anywhere.
Yeah, I can't remember. What was it, another 30, 45 minutes if you wanted to get into just the main town of Noxon? When that bridge went out, it added 45 minutes to go around.
Yep, a little traveling, you know, more traveling in winter time, nobody needs that. So, you know, that's what I was looking at, because it's just a way off the beaten path, whatever. Sometimes they forget about them places, you know. And, oh, one other thing, the St. Mary's, I'm glad that's going through, because, you know, all you people on the high line, they're kids. And you're not going to go very well unless they have good water.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's critical, you know, really. You know, there shouldn't be no reason. I mean, being that's part of the infrastructure, yeah, get it on. Who cares about some of the other things? Until you get the water, you know, first thing that you put into your place and you buy a place, that's the first thing you do.
Yeah.
You make sure you water, you know. So
that's right.
You know, I was just wondering about that, you know, and just thought I'd bring it up and remind, you know, so that people.
That's a great topic. Yeah, I'm going to write that one down. I hope I don't forget when we have the Senate president on in a few minutes and the governor. Hey, what are we looking at with regard to infrastructure needs, things like bridges and Noxon? Yeah. Yeah, the Hereford Bar. That's where my wife and I had our wedding reception dinner the night before. The rehearsal dinner at the Hereford.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Democrats screaming bloody murder. Save our kids. Save our kids from what? We're saving our kids by saving this system from institutional failure. That's why I'm asking people, think out of the box. Approach something differently. When you're failing at this level, you have got to make adjustments. You have got to do a course correction. This has been needed now almost since the beginning. Department of Education founded in 1979. Reagan has during his term of landmark study, A Nation at Risk. What has happened to the educational system in America, were it done by an outside entity or force, would be tantamount to an act of war. Wow. That's how bad this is.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Only two things in life are certain, death and taxes. Well, now there's a third certainty. If you're with Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, you could be saving a fortune every single month if you switch to my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company called Pure Talk. Now, that's right, Pure Talk, my sponsor, is cutting the fat from the wireless industry. For just $25 a month, you can get unlimited talk and text, 5 gigs of data on America's most dependable 5G network, and the average family of four saving over $1,000 a year when they switch to Pure Talk. That's real money in your pocket for the exact same service. And with Pure Talk, you have U.S. customer service representatives. They'll make the switch simple, fast, and free and easy. To do it, dial #250, say the keyword save now to make the switch. Do it now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. #250, keyword save now, and start saving today. Pure Talk. Wireless by Americans for Americans.
Fox in the Fast Lane.
Josh Berry has had success at Las Vegas Motor Speedway during his career, winning twice in a NASCAR Xfinity Series car. And his experience at the track helped him to his first NASCAR Cup Series victory in the Pennzoil 400 presented by Jiffy Lube.
What an unbelievable day for this car and that driver, Josh Berry.
Josh Berry and the Wood Brothers winning Las Vegas.
Sound courtesy of FS1, Berry became the fourth straight Wood Brothers racing driver to earn his first cup win in the number 21 Ford. Berry beat out Daniel Suarez after a restart with 19 laps to go, so Berry pulling away for a convincing victory. Ryan Preece, William Byron, and Ross Chastain rounded out the top five. Christopher Bell finished 12th as he failed in his attempt to become the first driver to win four straight cup races since Jimmy Johnson accomplished the feat in 2007. The Cup Series now heads to Florida for the Straight Talk Wireless 400 at Homestead Miami Speedway. Race time is scheduled for 3 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. For Fox in the Fast Lane, I'm Joe Morgan, Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Brent.
This is where Montana talks.
All right. Yeah, this is crazy. We had a previous caller, Bill and Billings, talked about that Dakota Pipeline verdict. A jury in North Dakota ruled that the environmental group Greenpeace must pay more than $660 million in damages after they went after the pipeline in North Dakota. So I've got a soundbite here from former North Dakota Governor and Interior Secretary Doug Burgum. Maybe we'll get to that coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. All right, back into the phone lines we go here. Eric and Winifred next up. Eric, good to hear from you. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing this morning, Aaron? I just want to start off real quick by saying every time that you and the Joker get together, I listen to you guys a lot. It's hilarious, and it's just pure delicious sexual chocolate.
Yeah, sexual chocolate. You got to stomp your foot when you say sexual chocolate.
Anyway, I just kind of wanted to go on my rant about this, about DOE and getting rid of DOE, which is the best thing anybody could have ever done, and getting that money back down to the states, because it's obvious every state is not a cookie. It's not a cookie cutter solution, and that's always been the problem. Let the states put the money where they need it. Tying that into Montana, we better start thinking about this now. Because when you look at your property tax bill, the vast 2/3 of your property tax bill is county level, not state level. And over half of that is, or more, is your schools. So where's that money going to go and to do what? And people need to start thinking about that right now because, yeah, it's not that far off. It's a year or so away. Are we going to pay our teachers some more because we keep losing them? They'll go to North Dakota, Wyoming, and Idaho for $5,000 a year more pay.
Mm-hmm.
And, they didn't get their, cut their teeth here for 2 or 3 years and then leave.
No, that's exactly right. Yeah, what? So if, you know, if we take a massive chunk out of the federal DOE, which we should, and we bring that back to the state, what do we do with it? We certainly don't want to turn it over to the MFPE. I mean, they're practically no different than the NEA. But, yeah, let's use that to pay entry-level teachers more. Because you're right. Because of the natural resource industries in neighboring states, they've paid entry-level teachers more. And I know guys that I grew up with that took their first teaching jobs in places like Wyoming as a result. Great points. Eric, great to hear from you. Sorry to cut it somewhat short, but we're just about out of time. And I was just thinking of Norma Ashby-Smith because I'm going to be in Great Falls next Wednesday. Hopefully Norma will come down and see us for the show. But Norma, I know you've got the big CMR auction coming up, the Charlie Russell.
Yes, it's the biggest one ever in our 57 years, Darren. And so we have more Russells than we've ever had. We have the whole Rosenthal collection from California that we have. So we have more wonderful art this year than we've ever had. And we have buyers here from all over the world, practically. So it's the biggest one we've ever had.
And we had Governor Gianforte there last night and Troy Downing. And everybody's in Montana. Seems like they're here, Aaron.
I know. I really wanted to be there for it, but I had to be in Plentywood last week. When does the auction wrap up? I think it goes through tomorrow, right?
It goes through Saturday. Saturday night is the final night, and it's totally sold out.
Yeah.
But we'll smuggle you in if we could.
Oh, man. Call. Yeah. Shooting. I got volleyball Saturday. And so, you know, kids first. But, no, I've heard this CMR museum auction that this is supposed to be the biggest, best yet. I'm kicking myself because I meant to send Chris Warden a text message earlier this morning to see if he might want to join us on the show. But, hey, that our callers always make it happen, Norma Ashby-Smith and Dwight. So great to hear from both of you. Send us some pictures, if you can, from inside the auction. And
we'll send you the results, too. We have several $1 million pieces, and we'll tell you how many of them sold.
Yeah, do that. Send me some photos and any info you want to add, Norma, and I'll get that on our Montana Talks website. I'm still an article short for the week anyway.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
I spent a career explaining to people that the stock market and the economy are two different things, and that the whims of exuberance and panic that wax and wane on Wall Street don't necessarily mean that the economy is doing the same thing, except in early 2025, that is, because this time the contraction in the economy might be just as severe as what major stock indices have been experiencing over the last few weeks. Although we won't get the official word until next month, all the pieces are in place for a sizable negative quarter for GDP, the measure of total economic output. Consumption in particular is nosediving. The University of Michigan's Index of Consumer Sentiment plunged by 11% this month. Spending is flat and credit card companies are dialing back their projections. None of this is definitive. The job growth in particular is still happening. But the whipsaws of policy changes, and particularly the dizzying announcement of tariffs that factor into prices, have created uncertainty that's causing both consumers and businesses to pause. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.